Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. 250, that's not old. I mean, Noah lived to be 900, didn't he? I know times were different back then, but America turns 250. We're not even as old as some of the patriarchs of the Bible. How about that? But we have got something to celebrate. When we hit the world stage, so to speak, we opened up everybody's ideas about what freedom means individually and what it means as a country as well. We are engaging in our celebration of 250 years here in Montana. Those issues are still in front of us. Why civic engagement is important to us and what our country means to us. We have a chance to talk about that because Montana's joining in this America 250 celebration, and we get on it here today. Chris Averill, State Senator John Esp will join us here from the 250th Commission Committee today on Voices of Montana. Let's celebrate. We did a little bit of our statehood not that long ago, and now it's America's 250th. Still many of us remember our 200th celebration, right? But not all of us do. So that's pretty cool. And that constant reminder. And so welcome, by the way. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making us a part of your Montana day. We're hoping that we're serving your needs. We really just want to get information out there that hopefully you need to know to make good decisions in your life, whether it's about politics or finances or consumption or whatever. We're just hoping that we're serving that in a humble and genuine way. Love to hear from you. It's tom@voicesofmontana.com. And hello all across the state. A special hello to our friends in Glasgow, KLTZ. They'll catch us here in the 10 o'clock hour. KQDI. Haven't been to Great Falls in a while. Need to see my friends up there as well. Thank you all for listening. Let's get into the topic here today. And it is about America's 250th celebration. But let's also open up to the ideas of why this is important and what we can gain from this and maybe what it is that you want to see. Welcoming our guest, Chris Averill is with us. Chris is the chair of the Montana 250 Commission. And Chris, I caught up with Chris the other day or a couple of weeks ago in Helena, Chris, and we did a little interview and we just went on and on. There was so much to talk about. I'm glad you're here. How you doing, sir?
I'm wonderful, Tom. Thanks for having us on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on and talking about this with the public here. And State Senator John Esp out of the Big Timber area serves Senate District 29. I think a veteran of, is it 10 or so legislative sessions that go back a little ways, and has been quite an advocate for not only education, but this kind of education specifically. Senator Esp, how are you doing, sir?
Thank you. I'm doing great. It's good to be with you.
Let's start. Chris, I'll have you give us the overview, all right? And people, I think, are just starting to maybe understand that we are doing this, and I know legislators like Senator S. made it possible, but give us the 411 on what the 250th Commission is.
So thanks, Tom. The Commission, the Montana 250th Commission, was established by the legislature in 2023 and signed into law by the governor. And it has many parts, and we'll talk about all of them throughout this hour, I'm sure. But the key to this is it's an 11-member volunteer commission that meets monthly and is working towards several goals. And I want to talk first about the membership of the commission, because we have two legislators, which is very important, one from each party. We have a high school social studies teacher. We have a college-level U.S. history or political science professor, and we're lucky to have Dr. Emily Arendt from MSUB out in Billings, who specializes in early and colonial American history. We have a tribal representative who was appointed by the Director of Indian Affairs, and then five members appointed by the governor from various different civic, veteran, military, tourism, history, arts, local governments. I mean, we run the gamut in terms of our membership. So the 11 members bring varied and diverse perspectives and views to the work of the commission. And I think that's a great asset to what we're trying to do, because we are trying to reach our overarching goal is to basically and this is sort of distilling it down really simple, ensure that we reach every Montanan over the course of this year in some way, shape, fashion, or form, whether that's on your radio program, through our op-eds that we're doing, through our virtual book club that we're doing, through events that we're hosting, through news stories that they hear. And if we can leave them with one thing, it's take some time to think about, reflect upon, commemorate, celebrate, whatever's right for you, this wonderful, miraculous milestone that we're honored to be able to be alive for. I know that sounds simple, and of course there's a lot more we want to do in terms of engaging with people, but I think that for me is a measure of success. If the 11 of us who have been appointed to this commission can in some way or form touch the lives of every Montanan to think about, reflect on, take action, come to an event, write something about the importance of America to them, meet with their community and be more engaged civic participants and citizens, I think, you know, the next 5, 10, 25, 50 years are going to be just, it's something that we can help shape the future of those years. So long-winded way of introducing the commission is saying we have a broad task. We have lots of things that we'll get into that are specific call outs in the legislation. But my goal is to just make sure that people are taking a pause here. We have 49 other years to squabble and, right, you know, go through all the issues, but this is a year to really reflect and celebrate, I think.
Well, I hope people grab onto that as well. We seem to be pretty diverse, which is a good thing, but our civic engagement has gone from, you know, what it was to what it is now, and is very, very, inflamed right now. And so, you know, I think this is very important for us, and I'm hoping the goals are achievable in that regard. State Senator John Asp also with us here, Big Timber area. And John, I know that you have talked about civic engagement on the Senate floor. It's probably one of the things that you're most passionate about, along with, well, a lot of other things, education as well. Why does this kind of civic engagement need to happen? What can come of this?
Well, what could come from it, Tom, is good solutions to problems. You can't find solutions by standing back and yelling at one another. You have to have a process that allows people to engage in thoughtful conversations, even though they don't agree, and then come to solutions and a path forward that's better for the country. That's what the Founding Fathers did back in the day. They didn't agree on everything. They used a process that goes back to the ancient Greeks on how to get together, civically engage, and solve problems. And that's what I hope to, that we can inspire people to do. I mean, we want to celebrate what's good about this country this year. We want to lay the foundations for future generations to learn from us how to civically engage. And that's why we've gone into helping kids throughout the state. Some of our programs help educate them on how they can civically engage, how they can go back to primary sources and look up what the Founding Fathers did or what happened in the past that they can learn from. And so there's just a whole lot of areas that I think we're going to have an impact on people, and I'm excited that we're able to put forward some of these initiatives and get people involved and get communities involved. We were very thoughtful about how we spread projects around the state, so we got a good geographical coverage. And so I just think it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get together with your neighbors and talk about things and talk about how things could be better and go back to the primary sources, go back to the facts and figure out how to move forward.
Yeah, I appreciate that, too. And we'll get to some of those projects. I think that's a pretty cool thing about this. There's a lot of public engagement about it. That's State Senator John Esp as well, a member of this Montana 250th Celebration Commission here. Chris Averill chairs that commission, and a history major, a minor in government and legal studies, raised in Boston, where really, you know, our country was born so many years ago. Chris, maybe talk about that value, you know, as Senator Esp explains it as well, of understanding history. And then I guess I'm really curious as to what you two gentlemen think about, you know, where we're at in our history. Have you ever seen this kind of activity across the country where there's actually violent rhetoric that is being expressed opposing legal activity or legal enforcement in our country? I know we can talk forever about some of the ills, but I want to get your sense of, does America still thirst for that freedom? Are we still teaching that at a young age? I felt like that was innate in us, and maybe it is at a human nature. And I know I'm dragging on here, but I want to put my finger on that value, the freedom that we have here. Are we losing it?
Tom, you know, you kind of point to a very important thing that I think our commission is working on, and it's this notion that, and this is why I think, to Senator S. point, being civically engaged, talking with one another, understanding our history is so important. America was never inevitable. You think about the founding fathers, and you think about even the activity that led up to Lexington and Concord. There were economic boycotts, and, you know, it was really an interesting time in terms of the loyalists versus the patriots, as, you know, as we come to understand it now. But a rupture with Great Britain wasn't necessarily inevitable, but neither was our success, because we know what that first winter was like of the Revolutionary War, and where George Washington and the troops were, and the morale and the conditions, and how it took a lot. I mean, why would these people, and you can argue on what the conditions were, you know, before Lexington and Concord, but why would these people form together, get their countrymen to embrace this cause if they didn't truly believe in it? And so I go back to the words of Calvin Coolidge, another, he was born in Vermont, but he was governor of Massachusetts, where I grew up, and he was president at the 150th anniversary of the nation. And I think that's a fitting thing for our country, given the demeanor that he held and is famous for. But he reminded us at the 150th, and these are two quotes from a speech he gave: "Before we can understand their conclusions, we must go back and review the course which they followed." Speaking of the founding fathers, we must think the thoughts which they thought. And then he said, "If we are to maintain the great heritage which has been bequeathed to us, we must be like-minded as the fathers who created it." And I think right now in our country, we do a lot of contemporary analysis. We go back to the problems of the past, and we analyze them through the 2026 lens, or you know, what we're going through now. And we don't really contemplate what it was like to live in those times, what it was like, how this country was being shaped and formed. And we make moral judgments too quickly. And I know that doesn't necessarily address some of the things you're talking about today.
Yeah.
But I'm very focused on the idea that, you know, we need to study our history to be better civic participants, and we have to do that in an open and honest, but at the same time, we can't diminish the idea that our country was not inevitable, and theoretically it's still not inevitable. And if we want to work, if we want to keep this experiment alive, and I think it still is an experiment, we need to talk to each other and work together. And part of what we're doing with our civics education, with our community engagement, with our grant program, with all the things that we're trying to do. I'll talk about a Montana 250 beer later, which is exciting, because that brings people together. That is the we need to get people in the room together talking to one another, and then yes. we can work through our problems like Senator Estes.
Yeah. I'm going to wrap up this kind of, this theme here with Senator Esp. And John, you've been a policymaker in the state of Montana. Thank you for that dedicated service to our state for so many years. Is the notion that we can trade freedom for security, is that taking hold with some groups?
There is some factions that want to go that way. I think that if you look at history, that's not necessarily true. I'm kind of an amateur historian at heart, and I don't think you'll find many successful long-term experiments going down that road. I one of my heroes growing up, even though he was killed when I was a teenager, was John Kennedy, and he said something, I'm probably paraphrasing, but if you make peaceful revolution impossible, you'll make violent revolution inevitable. Mm-hmm. And that says to me you have to engage thoughtfully and engage with people knowing that they are human beings too. They have views, and that's fine. But we have to engage and participate in our communities, in our local government, in the state government, run for office, serve on school boards, serve on planning boards, do the things that make communities work, volunteer fire departments, and all those things that make communities work. And I think that's the lesson that we'll take away from some of the celebrations. We'll celebrate with the fire departments. We'll celebrate with the rodeo club and whatever.
Yeah.
We'll celebrate what made our country what it is, and gives us the opportunity now to celebrate.
And Tom, I'll just jump in there because I think the importance of celebration is inspiration. That was my point earlier about we don't necessarily want to dwell on all of the challenging things that are going on in our country. Our role as a commission is to get people to talk, to be together, to be in community, to be thinking about the good. Why would you want to be a part of our society, of our country, if you are just in the doldrums all the time? We need to inspire people, and that leads to what Senator Esp's ultimate goals here are. Get people engaged in their communities, want to be a part of service, want to be a part of whatever moves you to become more active and more engaged, whether that's volunteer fire department or run for office, or teach history, or whatever, AmeriCorps, volunteer with your in your community. If we don't inspire people, and this is sort of a parallel to the Kennedy quote, like if you don't make our country interesting and inspirational, then you're going to make it just utterly devoid of anybody wanting to be a part of this experiment. And so that's why, we're balancing what we do, but we also want to be mindful of our role, I believe, is to inspire others and inspire those across our state, not just to say, rah, rah, great job, but to say, wow, we've made it this far. What can I do as part of our more perfect union to be a better citizen, a better Montanan, a better American, a more engaged and active person in my community or in my state or in my country?
250 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. That's what we're talking about here today. What's that mean to you? I mean, have you got some thoughts on that? Do you feel this now's the time to really hone in on that value of what America means to you? You got a chance to do that here. Welcome back from Montana for Montana's Voices of Montana. We're talking with Chris Averill and State Senator John Esp. They are members of the Montana 250th Commission. That's our state efforts toward America 250. As America across the nation will be celebrating our 250th. And there's a lot of hope that it does bring that sense of unity back, from one many, right? E pluribus unum. That is our national motto, and I think we need that in a lot of ways here. Let's take a call. Thank you guys for being here once again. Nancy's listening in Roundup once again on that mighty 790 KGHL, and it's got some suggestions. Good morning, Nancy. You're on the air with Chris and John.
Well, good morning, Tom, and good morning to your guests. I'm so excited about our country's 250th birthday, and I'm ready to party year-round. I'm going to tell you something. We deserve it as Americans because we're such a fantastic, hardworking people, and I believe our country has survived this long because of our dedication, and we do have a strong moral compass due to our founding to freedom of religion. And what it means to me is I'm just so proud because my ancestry goes all the way back to 1632 in the American colonies, and I know what my ancestors went through and where I'm at today because of their efforts. So I'm very, very proud of my family and also my neighbor's family, and I'm just so ecstatic about being an American. I think we are a very, very special people, and it's wonderful what you're doing. And I have some suggestions. I would love to see a national music and also a national dance for our country. I think it's time. And I'm going to say that the national music should be bluegrass with the country as a close backup. And also our national dance, I'm going to suggest that the American square dance be designated. I think it'd be great, and it's high time. And I think that would help bond us together. It'd be a lot of fun. And I like what you're doing, educating our youngsters. They need to know about their history. I grew up in a family that was, it was genealogy, and I know about my background. And I've worked doing different things with American history, different museums, and I worked at Pompey's Pillar for 5 years. So education, there you go, right there. That will endear and make our country just, the longevity just continue as it, and we are a great country. I don't care what anybody says. We are a great country and a great people, and I will never turn my back on our history and our ancestry and our flag.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that. And I'm sure, Chris, now I've got like 2 minutes left here, too. So save a minute there for John, or he's a man of fewer words than many. So maybe it's only 30 seconds. But, you know, comment on that. That's kind of the thing that you're trying to engage and ignite, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll take the last part first, because I appreciate her enthusiasm. And one piece that I haven't really dug into is genealogy. I mean, that could be something that someone takes away from our 250th is learn more about your family and where they come from. A lot of us don't know that. They don't take the time to understand their family roots. And I think that's a very important thing to be able to then tell your story. And that leads into an initiative that the National America 250 is launching, and that we are hoping to be a part of this later this spring or summer, called Our American Story. They have an Airstream trailer that's traveling the country, going to different locations, that's going to allow people to tell their story, why they're proud to be an American, where their family came from, how all of our cultures coming together makes us stronger. And so we're going to announce more details when we know more, but America250.org, I believe there's other opportunities to tell your own story and have it recorded and digitized, and in some instances, it'll be in the Library of Congress. Other organizations are working to keep the records in different places. But tell your story this year. Find an opportunity to record your own history, because America is a nation of people like every other country. But we're the only country that really brings in people from all over the world and celebrates that.
Yeah.
And talks about the strength that we get from that.
All right, stand by. John, finish up there, and then we'll come back with just Chris, because I know John's got to go for another appointment here. You got 30 seconds, Senator. Give us some final thoughts from yours.
Well, let's perpetuate the essential skills that make successful societies, and that's the ones that our founding fathers laid out for us. Let's keep that going for the next generation and 3 or 4 generations after that. That's my goal. Celebrate this opportunity to do that.
State Senator, thank you for your service. And Chris, stand by. We'll have more from Chris Averill, Chair. It's time to celebrate Montana's 200 and or our nation's 250th celebration. Think about that time. We're talking about our history in America's 250th. And Chris Averill is with us here, Chair of the Montana 250th Commission. You think about that time when the signers of the Declaration of Independence signed that document, they knew that they were committing treason against, at that time, the most powerful empire on earth. So what is one of those most famous quotes from that? It doesn't necessarily, I know we want to get one of them out of here from John Adams, just because our guest is a history buff who was born and raised in that area, Boston. So we'll throw that out there. But this is Ben Franklin, one of my favorites. And he goes, "We must all hang together, or most assuredly, we shall all hang separately." You know, Chris, thank you for being here again. I think it's poignant to talk about the sacrifices that have been made, you know, then and continue to be made for us to have a sovereign country that holds these principles of freedom. And we got to share some of these events that are going to highlight that as well. But, you know, there, you go back and you look at those things, as you noted, this is an inspiring time, isn't it?
It really is, and I'm just going to point out real quick that Benjamin Franklin's 320th birthday was January 18th, and he was born in Boston on Milk Street. So,
okay,
still, always a connection. He adopted Philadelphia later.
I see.
But going back sort of to the legislation that established this, because I think this is important. We're tasked with working with partners across the state. Any kind of civic or historic or educational institution, veterans, military, that you could imagine, local governments, county governments, tribal governments. And we have a number of checklist items. One is to sort of build and implement awareness around this and put on events and amplify other events that others are doing around the 250th. And then to draw attention to the achievements, honors, innovations, and significance of the people in this state. And so we're doing that with a pop-up banner exhibit that's going to be going around the state. And we're partnering with FWP to place them in some of the state parks to show what the land looked like in 1776 and how it's evolved over the years. And there's going to be a lot of education around individual Montanans or groups of Montanans. We're working with the congressional delegation on congressional record statements every month with different industries and different topics to say, and this month, for instance, is health and wellness and sports, because, you know, New Year's resolutions, people want to get healthy, and the Olympics are next month, and the Bobcats just won the national championship. So, you know, how do we put a spotlight on a few examples of outstanding Montanans over the years? So we're going to, that's more of a communications related, you know, perspective, but we're going to be doing some of that. Recognize the vibrant indigenous cultures living in this place in 1776. That'll be part of that pop-up banner exhibit, but we're also, through some of our grants that I'll get to in a minute, doing that. Emphasize the service and sacrifices of veterans who have secured and preserved American independence and freedom. To your point, you know, we have one of the highest rates of per capita of veterans in the country. We need to honor that. We need to honor the people who literally put their lives on the line for freedom. But one of the ways we can repay them is by, again, being more engaged and active citizens and honoring our, you know, responsibilities and obligations to maintaining this great nation. And then, of course, celebrating events and all that. And I'll go into the education piece later, but we did in December approve about $420,000 worth of grants. And I want to be mindful, we have this appropriation thanks to the legislature and the governor. We were established in 2023, but we came with very little funding. It was more administrative. And a number of folks advocated at the legislature this past session for some way for the state to be involved in recognizing the 250th. And I'm very thankful to folks who contributed to that effort. We put out a call for applications, and we thought we'd get a good number. We'd be able to fill them out. We got 84 applications that requested $2.4 million in funding. I mean, that's how much excitement and energy there is out there to be able to honor our 250th and bring the public in. And with our limited budget, about a sixth of what, you know, people asked for, we have 32 applications that we awarded at least partial funding to across the state. And Senator S. mentioned that. And I'll just tell you a little bit about some of them because they're very diverse.
Yeah.
We are working with Little Bighorn College on a look at some of the battles 150 years ago and how Crow Country defended itself. We're working with the city of Hardin as well in that area on an audio GPS tour of the county. It's a very, you know, it's a fairly large county, and there's lots of spread out places to visit. And our commission thought it was a really great way to have a lasting impact beyond this year. So we're putting some funding towards an effort that they've been working on there. We're working with the Museum of the Rockies on an event called America at 250. History Comes Alive at the Museum of the Rockies, where the public will be brought in for a series of events around different topics in American history. We're working with the Glacier Art Museum on the Traveling Medicine Show. So how do we better tell the story of the Blackfeet to school children throughout the state? How can we better get awareness and knowledge of their unique culture to you know, throughout the state? And so we're working with counties and cities on different 250 programming. And an important thing to me is that, and I know that the caller said this, I want to have a year-long party of celebrate. We want a year-long cascade of events here. We don't want to just do July 4th and call it a day. We want to be doing stuff throughout the year to remind people that this is a big year. It's worth celebrating. We don't want to overload people, but we want to be doing events throughout the year. And so some of these grants to organizations across the state, or like, for instance, Fergus County, we gave some money towards some of the programming they're doing. We're working with some of the Daughters and Sons of the American Revolution chapters on some of the programming they're doing. They're wonderful partners and fantastic advocates for knowing our history. And I could go on and on. There's, again, 32 different opportunities. We have awardees from Kalispell to Sydney, Columbus. They're doing a new mural in Columbus to honor the local history, and we put some money towards that. What our museums are doing to bring new exhibitions in or speaking series. So there's a lot of opportunities within that grant program that people will be seeing. And one of the criteria is that the objectives that we're funding have to be available to the public by the end of this year. So we're really intentional about making sure that the public, it's public facing and that it's happening this year.
I appreciate that. And I think that answers our caller's question as well about some of these events, Chris. And Skip, thanks for that call. We're going to continue on with this vein here, Chris, because I'm curious as to how then, you know, you kind of noted it. People have there was a 2025 deadline and for some of these things. How do they engage now that this year is here? There's more events that they can create. There's also some signature events I think that people are working toward.
Yeah, we have a number of things this year. I'm going to go through some of the highlights. And what I'd encourage folks to do, our website is America250MT.org. And we're trying to work with our museum partners, our historical society partners, our local and city and county and tribal governments to get them to put information on our website through our event submission portal to fill up our calendar. So people can come to one calendar throughout the year and look at the different opportunities to be engaged and to celebrate. And some of those things will be events, again, that we're working on, but we can't do it alone. And so what we'd love to do is, and I've asked all of our legislators the same thing, if you're aware of activities and events happening in your community, programming in your community, let us know so we can get them online. A couple of the things that I really want to highlight for this year that we're involved in and working with others on. First is our signature event. It's going to be July 27th. It's a Saturday afternoon and evening at the new Montana Heritage Center in Helena. And we purposefully chose that. That's a week out from July 4th. We're not going to try to do a big July 4th event. Everybody has their traditions. Every community has their celebration. We want them to. And in fact, one of the other buckets of money we're hoping for is to get communities to kind of plus up their events this year with something specific to the 250th. And we're going to have more information coming out about that soon. But keep an eye on our website and our social media. We have a Facebook page, Montana 250. We'll be giving more information about how to be a part of that June 27th event soon. On July 5th, there's a group out of Utah producing America's Potluck. And it's, again, that idea of bringing people together. It's a Sunday. So how can we get communities and organizations to come together, bring their community together, and literally have a potluck. Bring your own, you know, favorite dish, something from your ancestral culture. Sit together, come together, talk together, share food together. Food is something that really can unite people, and have conversations. And of course, you know, the individual isn't going to be able to do that, but if they hear about it and talk to a local organization or a local government and say, let's turn this into a block party, let's use it as a volunteer effort to give back to our food bank or invite people who are in need to come be a part of this event. We'd love to see some of that. And then July 8th will be, it's called Sharing the Spirit of America. And what I love about this is it comes from the Hawaii 250 Commission. Every state and territory has established some form of commission or task force or you know, body to undertake this work. And the Hawaii group came together and said, you know what, July 8th at 6 p.m. in Philadelphia, Eastern time, is when the Declaration was first publicly read in 1776. Let's have a synchronized reading across this country, across the territories, across the world where there are Americans. And so at 4 o'clock on July 8th, we're gonna try to encourage as many communities or groups to do that. And again, have a block party, bring your community together, do something fun with it, have local school children and celebrities and sports figures come together and read parts of the Declaration, and then have a barbecue or have a community booth fair or something where they can learn more about volunteer opportunities.
Yeah.
So again, we're encouraging groups to do that. We can't do it all ourselves. We know that's a busy week, and so again, we're trying to spread things out. But those are some of the kind of fun and engaging things that bring people together and, again, can inspire people to do more in their communities.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be, you know, a big event that, you know, you have to plan 5 years for. Maybe talk about that. Talk about how communities can look to you guys for some of those smaller, more community-oriented events.
Yeah, so we're hopefully by the end of next week, we will have announced some information on another bucket of money, again, that was part of the appropriation we received. And we want to grant, sort of give that back out to the communities and nonprofit organizations to do something around the 250. The grant program was great because it ties in with all of our different themes of honoring our veterans, understanding the indigenous cultures that have been here for thousands of years. And this is more targeted. This is more celebratory. It doesn't have to be a specific event. It can be a program. It can be an existing event, but we're not going to give money to someone just to do the usual, to do the porta potties and the fireworks. We want people to think differently this year and say, you know, I love this example that came out of Cascade, Montana. They're bringing in reenactors. You know, I think it was, I can't remember if it was Thomas Jefferson or Ben Franklin. And that's part of how they're kind of enhancing their celebrations this year. And they're doing a lot of things that we heard about in some of our outreach calls. Challenging communities to think about amplifying their events this year. So we'll have more details out. We're going to have at least a 3-week window where, so that, you know, folks who have heard about this for a little while now aren't going to be able to just put their application in right away. We want to get the word out for a few weeks, and then we're going to have an application window open and review them on a rolling basis. We're not going to have a closed date for that. But again, we're going to be mindful of geography here. We want to spread this money throughout the state, mindful of how unique the opportunity is to this year. And then just tangential to that, I want to add one more thing in case we run out of time.
We are.
We're working with the Montana Brewers Association.
I saw that.
Montana 250 beer. And what's unique about that is I was in Pennsylvania over the holidays, and they have a specific Pennsylvania 250 beer. It's one beer. It's one brewery. We're engaging all the breweries that we can to create their own style. I mean, this is America. We believe in choice and freedom. And so we want as many breweries to participate as possible. Have a competition at the Montana Beer Awards at the end of March in Helena, and then have them out in the tap rooms on 406 day through the spring and summer. And then again, use those opportunities to work with the individual breweries on events.
Great.
Community conversations, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, more to come and I'm all in on that one. America250MT.org for more information. Chris Averill again chairs the Montana 250 committee. Thanks, Chris, for what you're doing. All right. Happy
250th.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.